especially on a day like today, supposed to represent the Lord coming out of the grave and conquering death, hell, and the grave. And, you know, He deserves it. Amen? And then, obviously, all the hymns we sang and the offertory that was played and the specials that we're saying, all about Him. And then I feel like, okay, and I'm sorry that you're stuck with me, but I'll do my best today. Obviously, He deserves that glory and honor all the time. And so that's what we're going to try to do today. But I need to get to 1 Corinthians 15 myself here. So 1 Corinthians 15, and we'll read several verses here in just a minute. But I will remind you of next Sunday, that our kickoff of our missions conference, will pass out the Faith Promise cards. We have the ones for the adults and the ones for the kids. And again, there's no place for your name. I've told everybody just to pray and ask the Lord, if you are given to missions and you want to leave it the same, just write that same number down. If you are given to missions and you feel like the Lord wants you to raise it a little, raise it a little. If you're not giving to missions and you would like to get one of these, and what we'll do, we'll take this up during the week. You can give it to us, put it in an offering or whatever, and turn it into myself or Brother Derek and Brother Raji, and we'll total that up between this next Sunday and then the following. And basically, if it stays the same, we'll just continue to support the missionaries that we have. If it goes up some, we'll obviously add one or two or three of the ones that we have. We were able to add three last year. Excited about that. And so wanted to do that. But anyway, 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. And we'll read several verses here in just a minute. But I heard, I guess this guy is considered, I don't know, I guess there are Christian comedians. There are some people that are saved and don't talk nasty. All right, so he's considered a Christian comedian. And I heard him say this, and I'm going to start with it, because the title of my sermon, if you're taking notes, is The Big If. All right, The Big If. And obviously, it's only two letters. I think you spell it I-F, right? If. And so, if. I mean, there's a whole lot that hangs on that if. And so we're going to talk about the big if today. And the reason I'm using his little saying here is because that's what it has, if. And so he said he was taught by his grandmother as a little boy growing up that there's only two things in life that you have to worry about. And so if you've heard this, just go along with me, okay? If you haven't heard, pay real close attention. All right? He said his grandmother says, buddy, there's only two things in life you got to worry about. The first one is, are you healthy, or if you're healthy? And the second is, if you're sick. All right? If you're healthy, this is what she would say, you ain't got nothing to worry about. If you're sick, you got two things to worry about. Are you going to get better? Or are you going to get worse? If you're going to get better, have you caught on yet? You ain't got nothing to worry about. If you get worse, there's two things to worry about. Are you going to live? Or are you going to die? If you live, you ain't got nothing to worry about. If you die, you got two things to worry about. Am I going to go to heaven? Am I going to go to hell? If you're going to heaven, you ain't got nothing to worry about. All right? If you go to hell, and this is where he stopped. But, you know, I've read in the Bible about hell. There's some things to worry about. Okay? So I'm adding to his little statement here. You got to worry about those tormenting flames. All right? That's what the Bible says. It's just a describing of hell. All right? Tormenting flames. You got to worry about tormenting flames. I just burned considered a burn pile if you want it. It was in a big ditch out behind my house. The people that had it before I bought the house must have dumped stuff in there for centuries. All right? And so it was woof. And so I had cleaned back, but it was so hot I couldn't get close to it. Sometimes I was sitting there pushing and I had to pull my shirt up over my face. Why? Because flames are hot. So you do have things to worry about. And then the Bible talks about that you're going to gnash your tongue and gnaw your teeth. Let me flip that around. You're going to gnash your teeth and gnaw your tongue. And some of us, we've done that. We've bitten our tongue. That's painful. Gnash your teeth. Some of you might grit your teeth. And then we see here the Bible says that there's going to be wailing, screaming, basically is what it means. Wailing, screaming. All of those things last forever. Tormenting flames, gnawing your tongue, gnashing your teeth, and screams. So, I'd rather be healthy than sick. I would rather get better than worse. I would rather live than die. But if I ever do, because if I've done what the Bible says, I ain't got nothing to worry about. I'm going to heaven. And so today, if you're sitting here and you don't know that you would go to heaven, that's why Jesus came out of the grave. That's why He rose, so you can know that you don't have nothing to worry about. And so we're going to look at 1 Corinthians 15 in just a second. I got 3 points here in the introduction. So we're talking about the big if. There's some people that don't believe that there's a God. So we could say it like this. If there's no God. If there's no God, you don't have anything to worry about. You just live and you die. But if there is a God, we got something to worry about. And the Bible says in Psalm 14:1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So according to God's Word, and that's what we put our faith and trust in, all right, there is a God. And we'd be foolish not to believe in Him. Now, there's groups of people that believe in the Big Bang Theory, an explosion and all this happened. All right, they don't allow God to have credit of creating everything. According to the Bible, they're a fool. There's some people that believe we just evolved. An Adam, and it bumped into something, and you know, lo and behold, a little while later there was a tadpole, and it turned into a frog, and then it turned into a monkey, and then it, you know. And you're like, you know, it's hard to believe in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and He created everything in it. You know, it's not a theory, it's the truth. So if there's no God, you don't have anything to worry about. If there is, you got something to worry about. Number two in the introduction. If there's no heaven and hell, you don't have anything to worry about. You just live, you just die. But if there is a heaven and hell, and according to the Bible, John 14:1-3, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. This was Jesus speaking. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Next verse. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you into myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Again, he resurrected from the grave so he could do this. So according to the Bible, if there's no heaven and hell, you don't have anything to worry about. But if there is a heaven and hell, you have something to worry about. Matthew 25:41 says here, unto everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. So according to Matthew 25, the only reason hell was created was for the devil and his angels. And of course, if you've read the Bible, you know the story. Satan was in heaven. He was pretty much the song leader of heaven. Sorry, Brother Derek. He was the song leader of heaven. He was one of the most powerful angelic beings. And he sinned. He said, I will be like the Most High. I will ascend to the throne. Pretty much, I will take over heaven. And because of that sin of pride, obviously the Bible says in Matthew 25:41 that God created hell forever, everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels, the ones that wanted to follow him. But Isaiah 5:14 says this, therefore hell hath enlarged herself. So according to Matthew, God created hell for just the devil and his angels. But Isaiah said that hell has to enlarge herself, get bigger and bigger. Why? Because we got something to worry about. If you're born again, you're saved, you're a child of God, you're a Christian, you're going to heaven. You ain't got nothing to worry about. But if you're not, hell will have to be enlarged for you one day. So we see, why did Jesus resurrect from the grave? Here's the third thing. If there's no resurrection, we don't have anything to worry about. But if there is a resurrection, we got something to worry about. 1 Corinthians 15, you can look at verse 13. We're going to go back and read all of them, but look what verse 13 says. But if, talk about that big if. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. So in our day and time, a lot of people say, I don't believe in God. I don't believe in this Easter thing. I don't believe in this resurrection thing. And they have that right. God created us with a free will. But if that's their opinion, and that's a big if, they're going to have something to worry about. Let's look at verse 1. We'll read verses 1 through 26 real quickly. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach unto you. And this is obviously Paul talking to the church at Corinth. He said, this is the reason, you know, Jesus rose from the grave. And this is why I'm preaching to you. I preach unto you, which also you have received, and wherein ye stand. So those of us that are saved, and we sang Because He Lives while ago, or He Lives while ago, those high notes, and He's inside there, because you received it. You got it. That's where you're standing right now. You're not worried about heaven and hell because you're saved. Verse 2, by which ye also are saved, if you keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. And so, of course, we have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And if you're believing in Him, it's not in vain. You don't have to worry about it. Verse 3 says, therefore I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins. So in other words, Paul was remembering that road to Damascus. And he's like, man, He smote me, that big old bright light, I couldn't see. And I realized I was a sinner, and I needed Jesus. I got that. I received it. How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And here goes. And He that was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. So that big old if, I would rather put it on the Scriptures than my mentality. I'd rather put it on the Scriptures than any man's philosophy. I'd rather put it on the Scriptures than any man's theory. That's what Paul's saying. And that He was seen of Cephas. So that Cephas got to see Jesus when He rose up. Then of the 12. So His 12 disciples got to see Him after He rose up. Verse 6. After that, He was seen of above 500 brethren. 500 saved people. And so again, you know, you always look at reviews. And how many stars does it have? All right, if it's just like a eighth of a star, not eating there, not staying there, not buying from there. But if it's, you know, 4.5 out of 5, okay, I'll buy it out of that. So if one person said, I believe Jesus rose again, and I saw Him. Cephas is, I trust him a little bit. But then 12 more, I saw Him too. Okay, that gets a little bit more oomph to it. And then 500 more saved people said, hey, I saw Him too. At once. I mean, He was right there, and over 500 people were looking at Him after He came out of the grave. Of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are falling asleep. So some of those people, when Paul wrote this, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he's like, most of those people, those 500, are still alive. So if you want to go ask them, go ask them. Now, some have fallen asleep. Some have died. Verse 7, after that, He was seen of James. So James gets in on it. Cephas, disciples, over 500 people. And then James like, oh yeah, don't forget me. I saw Him. Then all the apostles. Me too. At last of all, He was seen of me. This is Paul. Paul's like, I got to see Him. I mean, can you imagine? Get to see Him. Most of these people heard that He was going to resurrect. But He died. And they're like, well, it's it. It's over. I'm going to go back fishing. I'm going to go back and start collecting some taxes. I'm going to go back to the hospital and start being a doctor. Maybe they didn't pay attention. Maybe they didn't listen. But Paul's like, I got to see Him. And verse 9 says this, for I am the least of the apostles. He said earlier that he was the chiefest of sinners. And now he's saying, I'm the least of the apostles. That I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. I can't even believe God saved me. Much less saved me, I can't believe God called me to preach. Much less called me to preach, I can't believe God lets me write Scripture. Paul was dumbfounded. But, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Popeye gets to jump into Scripture, right? I am what I am. Bestowed upon me was not in vain. So Jesus came out of the grave. I don't want to let that be in vain. Jesus saved me. I don't want to let that be in vain. Jesus called me to preach. I don't want to let that be in vain. One day He's going to come back for me and I'm going to stand face to face. I don't want to be ashamed. This is what Paul's saying. He says, I labored more abundantly. So you'll just have to forgive me that I get excited about serving God. You'll just have to forgive me that I think I am the least. If you think that's false humility, so what? You'll just have to think that. You just have to forgive me. I can't help myself. I just don't want it to be in vain. More abundantly than they all. Yet, not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. So Paul's doing his best here to just give God the credit. Therefore, whether it were I or they which preached. So again, that's what he's saying. Policies doesn't matter. I don't matter. God's the one that gives the increase. This is where he's getting it. All right. So we just all preach. We all give the gospel. We all give out tracts. We all invite people. And so ye believed. Now, if Christ, there's that if again, be preached that He rose from the dead, how shall some among you that say that there is no resurrection? I mean, he's like, Cephas saw Him, the 12 saw Him, over 500 saw Him, then James got to see Him, then some more apostles got to see Him, and I got to see Him. And that's why we're preaching. That's why we're excited about up from the grave He arose. That's why we're excited. And, you know, if you still want to say there's no resurrection, that's your prerogative. You have a free will. If you want to say that, you can. Verse 13, here it is, that big if. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. How do you explain it? Verse 14, and if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is in vain. Why are we doing what we're doing? Why are we even here at church? Why do we give offerings and tithes? Why do we pass out tracts? Why do we try to live a way that God would be pleased with? All that's in vain. Your faith is in vain? Or your faith is also in vain? Yea. And we are found false witnesses of God. I mean, some people say it's just a religious jargon. It's just made up stuff. Okay. Because ye have testified of God that He raised up Christ. He raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. Ye are yet in your sins. And they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. Verse 19, we'll stop right there. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Just a miserable life. Just a miserable thing. So we see here that in verse 12, Paul is asking and saying, you know, if you're not believing in the resurrection, he's basically saying there's nothing new. There's a whole lot of people that have not believed in the resurrection. And we'll get this before we get to the main points. I thought this as a child. Genesis, oldest book in the Bible. Must have been the first book in the Bible. No, wasn't. The Bible's not laid out in chronological order. Okay, the book of Job is the oldest book in the Bible. And if you read verse 14 or chapter 14 and verse 14, it says here, "If a man die, shall he live again?" So they've been asking this question: is there a resurrection or not? From the beginning of time, from the oldest book in the Bible. So we see that from the oldest book in the Bible until now, people are wondering if Jesus rose from the grave. The Bible says that the Sadducees did not believe in resurrections, angels, or miracles. I mean, back in the Bible time, some of them saw the miracle take place. The water turning into the wine. I don't believe that. Got to be a joke. Got to be a trick. Saw the leprous man of leprosy walk away whole. The lame running, jumping and leaping and praising God. The maniac clothed and in his right mind. A lot of them saw that, but still said, there's no resurrection. There's no miracle. There's no angels. Luke 20, verse 27 says this, then came to him certain of the Sadducees, which deny that there is any resurrection. It's found in Luke 20, verse 27. The Sadducees showed up, and they said, we don't believe in the resurrection. Acts 17, 18, Paul was preaching, and there were some Sadducees in the crowd. Acts 17, 18 says this, about halfway down in the verse it says this, what will this babbler say? I mean, the Apostle Paul. Alright? I mean, I was raised to respect like the president. Okay? There's been some presidents we have. I respect the position, didn't respect the person. But respect the position. You know, preachers. Obviously, there are sad things that has happened to preachers out there today. They've been embezzlers. They've been molesters. They give the preaching a bad name. But here's the Apostle Paul, and they're out there giving each other the elbow. What's this babbler going to say? Other some he seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus, and how dare him preach about the resurrection. The how dare him is not in there. Paul preached to a group of Pharisees. Acts 26:8. Acts 26:8 says this, why should it be, though a thing incredible with you, that God should raise the dead? So people are asking Paul, why are you going around saying God raising the dead? He's going to raise the dead. He's going to take my loved ones to heaven. He's going to take me to heaven. Why are you doing that? So when Jesus was crucified, if you read in the Bible, you'll see that Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea, they came and asked for Jesus' body. And they put it in a tomb that Joseph had bought or dug or made for himself. Matthew 27:63 says this, sir, we remember that the deceiver, talking about Jesus, said while he was alive, after 3 days I will rise again. So some of his closest followers had went back to fishing and tax collecting and doing things that they used to do. Didn't remember that he said that. And here's some people that called him a deceiver, a liar. They remembered that he said that. So because of that, if you read on in Matthew 27, it says, okay, we're going to put two Roman guards out there by the tomb. Armed guards, big guards. And then we're also going to roll a huge stone in front of it. And we're going to seal it up. And whether it be like a caulking or a concrete or the king's seal, do not remove. If you do, death. It was sealed up. And they didn't want the disciples to come and steal his body and say, our Lord had resurrected. So from the beginning of time, all the way back in the book of Job, the beginning of biblical time, till now, there's people that don't believe that Jesus rose from the grave. So we see here, some self-proclaimed theologians call it the swoon theory. Right, the swoon theory. Jesus didn't resurrect. This is what really happened. Right? It says what they did, they took him down from the cross before he was dead. He was just merely in a coma state. Right? And they put him in the grave. That's why he came out of the coma, and that's why he came up. It's called the swoon theory. They say, he was beaten beyond recognition, the Bible says. You couldn't even tell that he was a man. Then he was hung on the cross for over 6 hours. And, you know, try to breathe with your hands above your head. And they said, you know, he'd push up, get his breath. 6 hours. But he was just in a coma, right? Then the Bible says that the soldier came because he was, I thirst. And he stabbed him in the side with a spear. And water and blood came forth, the Bible says. But he was just in a coma. How about the Roman soldier's job was to go, and anybody that was hanging on the cross, it was his job to break their leg so in case they did get down while they were going home, they couldn't go anywhere. So he was going to break Jesus' leg, but the Bible prophesied not a bone would be broken. So he was already dead. And the Roman soldier said, I'm not breaking his leg, he's dead. So the swoon theory, again, if you just believe the Bible, is just like the evolutional theory in the Big Bang theory. It's just a theory. It don't have any scripture to back it up. So we see here, not only was that soldier said, he's dead. How about when Jesus said, it is finished. And what's the rest of that verse? And he gave up the ghost. Jesus, the Bible says he was dead. So the swoon theory is not a good theory. Some call it the hallucination theory. Now, depending on if you're medicated or not, you might believe this one. All right. Some medications cause this to happen to me. All right. Hallucinations. And I won't give you all the details on that. But there's some medicines that I cannot take. I'll hallucinate. But to show, I mean, just like Big Bang and evolution and swoon, this one is just as ridiculous. But the hallucination theory says that hundreds, okay, to get people to do the same thing, if you get two people to do the same thing, think the same way at the same time, that's a miracle. All right, but they're saying hundreds had the same dream at the same time, reacted the same way at the same time. It says here that the hundreds of them say that they saw him alive, and they were hallucinating. They were having a nightmare and a series of visions all at the same time. All right, if we started comparing dreams, none of us in here dream the same thing. We might have something similar in our dream, but nobody's having the same dream at the same time, exact same way, all that kind of stuff. Hallucination theory. Here's another theory. It's called the kidnap theory. And it's mentioned in the Bible. By the people that called him the deceiver. Hey, we need to put some guards over there. We need to put a stone there. We need to seal that. Why? Because his disciples are going to try to come get him. But the kidnap theory says that they went over there, you know, stealth-like, and they took down those two guards. You know, maybe he'll sneak up behind them and took them out. And then they broke out the tools and unsealed the stone, and then then they took the body. And so, swoon theory, hallucination theory, kidnap theory. But let's read the Bible account. And I'm just going to read them out. I'm not going to read the verses. But this is what happened according to the Scriptures. Now, if it's not according to the Scriptures, you ain't got nothing to worry about. But I happen to believe that it is according to the Scriptures. And we do have something to worry about. The Bible says that there was an earthquake came. And God rolled that stone away. And he sent some angels down. And the Bible says in those soldiers, the angels didn't have to do the old snap neck move. It says that the soldiers, they just fell to the ground as dead. And God rolled the stone away. And it says right here, and Jesus walked out holding the keys of death, hell, and the grave. Where's that found? Revelation 1:18. Listen to this verse. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and death. That's what took place that day. And so that's why God allowed Jesus to be killed, buried, and rose again. So he could conquer death, hell, and grave for us. So let's look at the outline real quick. I got to go fast, and I will. Number one, it says here, if there's no resurrection, then there's no need for salvation. If there's no resurrection, there's no need for salvation. But Jesus said, and I'm going to add some words here, the plan is finished. If you study the plan of salvation, the Bible says it was from in heaven. Right? Before this world was created, there was a plan for salvation. And that's what Jesus said on the cross. It's finished. Isaiah 53:6 says, and God laid upon him the iniquities of us all. But not only was the plan finished, the plan must be believed. The plan must be believed. Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, in other words, you've got to say it. If thou confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, so I have to believe and say with my mouth, I believe Jesus was God's Son. Then it says, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. So part of salvation is believing that Jesus was God's Son and believing that He rose from the grave. So the plan was finished. The plan has to be believed. Thirdly, the plan is our justification. Now, we've heard that word before, but if you read in Bible times, basically justified was basically they had a scale. And to put weight on this side to make it even, that's justifying it. So how much meal are you buying, or how much oats are you buying? And they put it in and they start stacking and they start stacking. And when it would get even, okay, you owe me this much money. It was justified. So if we tried to pay for our sins, the Bible says we could not. The only way you can pay for your own sins is die and go to hell. But that wasn't what hell was created for. The devil and his angels. So God said, I got to justify this. Romans 4:25. Who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. So when He came out of that grave, all of our sins had been put on Him. God was looking at the scale and He said, justified. Justified. So it wasn't just a thing so we could celebrate Easter. It was a plan. And we got to believe it. And that plan was for justification. It was the plan the whole time. A lot of people try to thank God, you know, because this is what we do. If we get something thrown in our face, or we're dealing with something that we hadn't planned for, we fly by the seat of our pants. We improvise. We fake it till we make it. Whatever we have to do. That's not what happened here. Oh no, somebody sinned. Oh no, there's a hell. Oh no, God wasn't freaking out. It was the plan the whole time. Where's that found in the Bible? Okay, glad you asked. Matthew 16:21. From that time forth. It didn't sneak up on God. God knew that we would need a Savior. It didn't sneak up on Him that He was going to die on the cross. It didn't sneak up on Him that He was going to have to conquer death and hell and the grave. It didn't sneak up on Him. How did He get out? It was the plan the whole time. It says here, for that time forth began Jesus to show unto His disciples how that He must go to Jerusalem and suffer. Part of God's plan the whole time. Many things of the elders. They were going to call Him a liar. They were going to slap Him. They were going to spit on Him. It was part of God's plan. And the chief priests and the scribes. And be killed. And here it is. And be raised again the third day. It was part of God's plan the whole time. It didn't sneak up on Him. Next, Matthew 12:40. And for Jonas, this is Jonah as we know him, was 3 days in the night and 3 nights in the whale's belly. So shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the earth. It was God's plan the whole time. You know, how many days should we leave Him in there? How many nights? Huh? No, 3 days, 3 nights. And we won't even get involved. But if you just do the math, and again, if you celebrate it, the Bible tells me I'm supposed to let you celebrate it about those holy days and all that stuff. All right? 3 days, 3 nights, if you go from Sunday morning back to... He wasn't crucified on Friday. Not enough time. Not enough days and nights. And if you really study it, and the evening and the morning was the first day, it was back then. So, just to get away from those holy days. But anyway, we see here that He was in the belly of the earth 3 days and 3 nights, part of God's plan. And whosoever liveth and believeth in Me shall never die. Believest thou this? There's the if. So, we saw, first of all, if there's no resurrection, there's no need for salvation. Secondly, we saw in this chapter, if there's no resurrection, there's no need for evangelism. Paul's like, why are we preaching? It's just vain. It's just a waste of time. But Paul is saying if there's no resurrection, we're preaching is meaningless. And I just grabbed a few of these. But Noah preached 120 years. It was a waste of time. He was preaching about Jesus, what He was going to do. Moses preached for 40 years after he wandered in the backside of the desert and then he went with the children. He preached 40 years. Elijah preached. Elisha preached. Ezekiel preached. Isaiah preached for 62 years. Jeremiah wept while he preached for years and years. Mark 16:15, God tells us to preach. Go ye, all of us are ye, and preach the gospel to every creature. So it's part of God's plan. But if there's no resurrection, there's no need for evangelism. Paul said in 2 Timothy 4:2, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish, in other words, they're not saved, they're on their way to hell, is foolishness. But unto them which are saved, it is the power of God. And again, I love hearing preaching. I love studying for preaching. I'm nervous about preaching, but I need it. But that's what it's saying here. If Jesus resurrected, and He did, preaching about it gives us power. He overcame that. He can help me overcome anything. So, if there's no resurrection, there's no need for salvation, there's no need for evangelism. Thirdly, there's no need for faith. 1 Corinthians 15:17, we already read it. If Christ be raised, your faith be not raised, your faith is in vain. So if there's no resurrection, our faith is vain, absolutely meaningless. But faith is necessary. We have to have it. Ephesians 2:8 and 9, for by grace are you saved, here it is, through faith, that not of yourself is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So if we have to have faith to be saved. We have to have faith to fellowship with God. What's faith? The evidence of things not seen, all right? But the hope of those things that we are going to see one day, that's our faith. So we have to have faith to fellowship with God. Matthew 9:27, according to your faith, be it unto you. For us to talk to God, we have to have faith. To please God, we have to have faith. Hebrews 11:6, without faith it's impossible to please God. 1 Timothy 1:12, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded, talking about our faith, that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. So we have to have faith to be able to keep our commitments. Number four, if there's no resurrection, there's no following Christ. And again, the Bible had this a long time before any social media platform had it. Follower of Christ. All right? Again, I think you ought to be really following Him instead of just posting about it. Amen. But it says here in Luke 9:23, and He said unto them all, if any man will come after Me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow Me. If He didn't resurrect, there would be no need to follow Him. Because we would still be in our sins. 1 Corinthians 15:17. If Christ be not raised, our faith is vain. And it says right there, and ye are yet in your sins. Because we have, Paul says, we've been ridiculed, we've been persecuted for no reason. 1 Corinthians 15:19. If this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all men miserable. Paul's like, if He hadn't resurrected, and I'm telling y'all, I saw Him resurrected, that's why I'm doing this one thing I do. I forget that. And I'm going towards that. This is why. He's like, why else would I be shipwrecked? Why else would I have taken beatings? Why else would I have went through storms? Why else would I have been imprisoned? Why else would I have been suffering ridicule? Because there was a resurrection. If there's no resurrection, no life hereafter, no place, we ain't got nothing to worry about. But Christ has risen. And there is a heaven. So Paul said, I'll gladly. He said it was a joy to suffer and take persecutions like Jesus. And the last one. If there's no resurrection, there's no hope for our loved ones. I know I've got loved ones in heaven. But if there was no resurrection, I wouldn't have that hope. 1 Corinthians 15:18. Then they also which are fallen asleep. In other words, they passed away. They died. In Christ are perished. That hope that we have is gone. I'm going to read one other scripture. You can turn there if you want. If you don't, I'll just read it to you. 1 Thessalonians 4. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 says this, but I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, Even so, them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. And then it goes on to say, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. So we know there is a resurrection, and we have that hope. So don't let His death, His burial, and His resurrection go to waste. Don't let it be in vain. That's what He's saying. It's kind of like this. Most of us were taught this. if your mama cooks you a meal, puts it on your plate, you're going to clean your plate. And then we might get this story. There's 100,000 Ethiopian eunuchs, or not Ethiopian eunuchs, Ethiopians, all right, over there starving to death. All right, so finish that food. Don't you let it go to waste. That's what Paul's saying. He did come up. Let's not let it go to waste. How about if somebody bought you a birthday present? I know we had several birthdays yesterday. Somebody bought you a birthday present and you just said, okay, thank you. Set it down on the counter and went your way. Okay? You're letting it go to waste. They spent good money for it. They put some thought into it. That's what counts, right? All right? And you're just letting it go to waste. But that's what Paul's saying. Look, don't let His resurrection go to waste. How about this? Some of you, you're waiting for your rich relatives to kick it. When they're gone, I get. All right? Well, how about that? If somebody did say, okay, I'm leaving you my home, I'm leaving you this estate, I'm leaving you all this money in this account, and then they passed away, and they had done that. They loved you that much. They had taken all the legal matters into hand and put all that in there, and it was yours. But you're like, I'm just going to live my life, do my thing. What a waste. But how much more did Jesus do for us? Right? I mean, He's given us mansions, not houses. He's given us heaven, not hell. He did conquer death, hell, and the grave for us and resurrected for us. And Paul's like, look, if you don't accept that, you're letting that go to waste. If you don't apply that to your life here on the earth and be a part of the gospel and getting it out, you're letting it go to waste. So, if we're going to be right with God, we've got to do our part. So, if I am right, you got a whole lot to lose. If I'm wrong, you ain't got nothing to worry about. But everything I've told you this morning is not my opinion. It's God's opinion. It's not a theory. All right? It's what God's Word says. So, if, that big if I'm saved, I'm going to heaven. If I'm not, I'm going to hell. If Jesus died and buried and rose again, and I don't do anything, I'm letting that go to waste, I got a lot to worry about. So it's up to you. Let's have every head bowed, every eye closed. Brother Derek's going to come lead us in the invitation. Lord Jesus, thank You for this day. And Lord, we thank You for resurrecting. Lord, we saw in the Word of God, and then even in some studies of different theories, different mindsets, even the Sadducees. Even back in Job's day, man, die, they're going to live again? Well, Sadducees like, there's no resurrection, there's no angels, there's no miraculous events. But according to the Scripture, there is. And You did die. And You conquered death, hell, and the grave. And You took Your own blood to the mercy seat in heaven and applied it there for our sins. And it's still speaking today, the Bible says. And we thank You for all that. Lord, I just ask You to help us to take advantage of it. Be a part of the plan. Nothing slipped up on You. You got everything in control. And I just ask You, if there's somebody here today, Lord, that is not 100% sure they're going to heaven, Lord, don't help them not listen to the devil. There ain't nobody in here going to make fun. There's nobody in here going to judge. But there are people in here that will pray and say, Lord, if they don't know, help them to know. And Lord, I'd be glad to take the Word of God, show them how they can know for sure. And Lord, if there's people here today, Lord, that's not involved in the, I guess what we would call the ministry, and we're letting it go to waste. Lord, I just ask You to help us to make that commitment today, to be excited about it. Like Paul said, I'm sorry. I'm just excited. You'll just have to forgive me, but I'm going to be excited that Jesus rose from the grave. In Jesus' name, let's all stand. Brother Derek's going to lead this invitation. Altar's open.